Well, good morning. I'm Elliot. If you don't know who I am, I'm part of the staff team at St. Barnabas, and usually on Sunday mornings, I'm sort of splitting my time between running at the back, being here in the adult service, and being in Tots and Kids Church and Mini Church, and we're just really grateful for the worship team here and the guys that are preaching often here at the front and the service leaders for looking after you adults, so that we can get on with the business with the kids. So we just really appreciate all the team that are doing their best to look after the grown-ups here in Adult Church. So, yeah, let's just encourage them for what they do. And for you guys, for just behaving so well week after week. Thank you. You think I'm joking? Right, we're gonna read a bit of this reading together. It's just a short passage this morning, and just to keep you awake while we read it, I thought what we'll do is it's in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32. So we're going to read the first verse all together, which is going to come up on the screen, and we're going to read the last two verses all together. Does that sound all right? Are you ready? So you don't need to, you might want to grab a Bible, but for this purposes of this, the verse is up on the screen. Let's read together, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Together, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Did you enjoy that? That was fun, wasn't it? So we're week two into a new series. Colin started the series off last week. We're looking at particular characters in the book of Acts and how God gets hold of certain people to bring transformation in a life that has a change in the world, that affects the world in a big way. And last week, Colin looked at Peter, and this morning, we're going to be looking at Barnabas. He's our namesake, isn't he? We're St. Barnabas, our namesake Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And what do we know about this guy Barnabas? Is the first time we meet him, Luke introduces us to him in Acts chapter 4, and he's not quite as well known as somebody like Paul, who takes more of our attention as we go on reading Acts. Nevertheless, he's an incredible person, and God does an amazing thing in his life, so he's not to be overlooked. He was born in Cyprus. And he clearly had a bit of wealth because he owned land. And that's where he becomes famous in this story and what he does with that land. He was a Levite, which meant that he was a minor priest in the temple. And he's given this name. His name isn't Barnabas. His real name is Joseph. But he gets given this new name, Barnabas. And the apostles give him this name because there's obviously something about him. There's something that they've recognized of what God is doing in his life that warrants this change of name, this new name. And we know this is not the first time that we've seen people's names changed in the Bible for a significant reason. The character we looked at last week, Peter, Jesus says, Simon, you should be given the name Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church. And son of encouragement, when we see him living up to this name, we should be encouraged by what he does in this short story. His generosity, the way in which he deals with what God has given him, this great wealth, that he sells this land that he has, and he takes that money and he gives it to the church. If you look at Acts 9, Barnabas stands out of everyone in the church. Barnabas stands out. Following Saul's conversion in Acts 9, Saul's gone from being with the Jews who were persecuting Christians to now being with the Christians, experiencing persecution himself. And his life is in danger, and he gets lowered by some friends out of the wall so he can escape, and he's on the run, and none of the church want to take him in. None of the Christian community want to take him in because they don't trust that this is a real conversion that's happened. Except Barnabas, he reaches out, son of encouragement, reaches out and brings Saul into the Christian community. Saul is, as well as being an apostle, he's also referred to as a prophet, and he's sent to Antioch to pastor the church there. And Antioch, Luke tells us in Acts 11, is the first place that Christians were called Christians. And it's in this key place where the gospel goes beyond just being preached to the Jews, but also preached to the Gentiles as well. So he's quite an important guy. And he's living at the birth of the church, following the outpouring of God's Spirit. One of the things that Luke says about Barnabas is in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. He says this of Barnabas, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And that's what I want us just to have in our minds this morning as we continue thinking about him, and as we think about him, thinking about ourselves, this way that Luke describes him. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. This is the second amazing passage in the beginning of Acts that talks about this crazy generosity that existed in the church. If you look at end of Acts chapter 2, this is what Luke says. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. It's an amazing insight into what God was doing in this community, isn't it? All the believers were together. This picture of unity, it's such an important thing, isn't it? Of being together, being united, even if we don't agree with each other over everything. We're together in Jesus. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Deuteronomy 15 talks about the importance that God commissioned the community of Israel to give to anyone as they had need, that there be no poor among you, God said. And here we see, following the outpouring of God's Spirit, the Christian community living out what God's desire has always been. Let there not be anybody who has need among you. And I'm encouraged when we take up offerings often at St. Barnabas, whether that be Christmas, whether that's just a weekly offering, or whether like this morning for Nepal, in seeing how people respond to the needs of the poor locally, nationally, and internationally. And I find St. Barnabas, I've been around here for over a decade in one way or another, and I find St. Barnabas, we are an encouraging church, and we are a generous church. I think Barnabas is a good name for us. So following generosity, we get this weird passage in Acts chapter 5 of two people who are not quite as generous. And even though we have these two stories of this community sharing together, God's power at work among them, we also know they weren't perfect. Because Ananias and Sapphira were part of this Christian community. And they probably would have heard that Barnabas had done this amazing thing, and instead of being inspired and encouraged and challenged by that generosity, this is how they respond. They obviously have some land as well, and they decide, chapter 5, verse 1, that they're going to sell their piece of property that they've got, and together they keep part of that money back, and they bring the other part to the apostles, but yet they're deceitful about the way the money is divided up. They're not honest to say, you know what, we sold our land, but we really felt it was right to keep this part and to give the rest to you. And there's no obligation for the church to be doing this. There's no law set down that says, right, now that you're a Christian, you need to be selling your land and giving it away. There's no law. Barnabas doesn't do it under law. He does it in response to God's grace at work in that community. And yet Ananias and Sapphira, Peter says to them, verse 4, didn't it belong to you? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? So he's saying, nobody forced you to give this money away. And this is an important passage for those of us that struggle in our worshiping life when it comes to our money and our possessions. This is a really important passage. Because nobody was forcing Ananias and Sapphira to give. And we don't want to ever give that impression when we invite you to worship God with your finances. This is about you responding to the grace of God at work in your life and in freedom. Not bound as Ananias and Sapphira were when they gave. They were bound up. But that we give in freedom. The freedom that comes from being in Christ. So they weren't perfect. Barnabas wasn't perfect. We find out about him in Acts 11. We hear a little about him in Acts 9. You find out in Acts 13 to 15, him and Saul, who's then Paul, spend a lot of time together traveling around, encouraging the church, doing great miracles in Jesus' name. But then at the end of chapter 15, they have a falling out. John Mark, Barnabas' cousin in Acts 13, they were on a mission together and he deserted them. And so at the end of Acts 15, Barnabas is like, yeah, let's bring John Mark with us. And Saul's like, no, he was the guy that deserted us. I don't want him coming. So they end up parting company. It's the last we hear of Barnabas until he's mentioned in some of Paul's letters. So he wasn't perfect, but he was incredibly generous. Isn't generosity attractive, though? And when it's not attractive, it's because there's something going on in our life of insecurity. But it is attractive. There's this couple, these grandparents, who they decided to turn their house, I've got a picture of them, they decided to turn their house into a school for bullied children because they were hearing about some of the awful atrocities that young people were doing and that had happened to young people. Like this girl that they discovered who'd had a bald patch where hair had been ripped out of her skull. And they thought, you know what, we've got a large house. We're going to turn our house into a school for bullied kids. Isn't that inspiring? Isn't that encouraging? The same should be true of when we read about Barnabas. We should be inspired and encouraged. And if we're not, we need to ask God, what is it that's going on in us that's causing us not to be encouraged and inspired by that generosity? Now, I've been so encouraged and inspired by hearing the stories of people that have been giving to the Go and Grow project, making huge sacrifices, not out of law and obligation that says, if I'm in St. Barnabas, therefore there is a law that says I must give, but inspired by grace. Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. The Holy Spirit is clearly important to Luke because in his gospel, we see the Holy Spirit as being a key feature. He talks about Jesus in Luke 4 when he comes out of his time in the desert. He mentions Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus then began his work. At the end of Luke, we hear Jesus' words promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I read Acts, and I love the book of Acts, I find it so encouraging and inspiring. I just absolutely love reading it. And if you've never read it from first chapter to last, it's really worth reading. If you look at the end of chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus says that you're going to be my witnesses of all the things that you've seen, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So we have Jesus dying, rising, and then before he ascends into heaven, reminding the Christian community that was to be, that the Holy Spirit was going to come and empower them and clothe them with power. And that's this thing that he highlights about Barnabas, being a man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. is I think it's the key to understanding what's going on in Acts. So many times we bump into that phrase of people being full of the Holy Spirit, people being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the difference that happened in Saul's own life. It's the difference of Peter, who Colin talked about last week, who went from denying Jesus, carrying around that fire, to then being willing to lay down his life. And following the pouring out of God's Spirit in Acts 2, we read later in Acts 2 that it was Peter spoke filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. So our worship has been a lot about this morning. Colin didn't know when he was preparing this, the particular focus that I had for us this morning about the importance of being full of the Holy Spirit. We've been singing about that, haven't we? Come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to bring freedom into our life. When we sang about being changed from glory to glory, we remember Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 17, he says, "It is for freedom." He says that the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in Galatians 5, verse 1, if you were here, you remember we heard that verse last week. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. One of the things that I find the biggest challenge is for me in following Jesus is myself. And one of the challenges I find with other people I meet who are trying to follow Jesus, one of the biggest hurdles for them is often themselves. We can be our own worst enemy in this, can't we? Well, I can. I certainly can. We live in quite a self-obsessed culture that is the opposite of what we see in Acts 2 in this community, being of one heart and one mind. Self is one of the biggest enemies to unity in the church, because self is about boundaries. It's about your boundaries, whereas unity is about us being together. Selfishness is what causes me to get absolutely furious when I'm on a road with double parked cars and the person in front of me refuses to pull in, so I have to pull in. I'm serious, I get angry about that because why should I have to do that? We live in a selfie phenomenon where people are obsessed with taking pictures of themselves and posting. Now, this is not a chance for you to get annoyed and thinking that I'm just condemning selfies entirely, because I'm gonna take a selfie now just to show you that I do sometimes take selfies. So this is gonna be a sermon selfie. Look, ready? There we go. Now, have you heard of Kim Kardashian? I'm sure you all have. Now, Kim Kardashian, she has been given the name as a trailblazer for the selfie movement. Now, we are in a selfie movement. If you look at this next infographic, it shows the journey of the selfie. And now, it begins with MySpace. Remember MySpace? If you want to be really cool, you pretend you never knew of MySpace. So I don't know MySpace, because MySpace was then overtaken by Facebook. Then Instagram came, and in between that we had the iPhone's front-facing camera, which meant selfies were then going to be awesome. And if they weren't, then Instagram would help you make them look awesome after you took them. And then in 2013, selfie makes it, finally, into the Oxford Dictionary. Made it. Kim Kardashian's actually got a book out called Selfish. And you know what the book is? It's full of selfies of her. Believe it or not. We've got to be careful in a culture that often causes us to think about self before others, which challenges the culture of the kingdom of God, which says, Jesus himself, I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. When we're praying for politicians, don't we want to see politicians who would model themselves, whether they believe in Jesus or not, they would model themselves on that same servant-heartedness, to be willing to give their life as a ransom for the better of this nation. It's not about self. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to live a Spirit-filled life, knowing that the Holy Spirit has come to free us from so many of the things that entangle us. You know, selfishness it's been around since the dawn of time. In creation, it's the reason that creation fell was selfishness. It was about what Adam and Eve wanted, more than about what God knew was best for them. And that's the reason you fall into sin so much. It's about you wanting what you want, rather than you submitting to what God knows is best for you. It's one of the biggest hurdles for people coming to faith in Jesus, because it means about laying self down. And hear me, it's not about, you know, the Holy Spirit filling us is not like the invasion of the body snatchers, where we suddenly get taken over and we are now robots. That's not what it's about. It's about us, God fully filling us, working with us, His Spirit united with our spirit. Which is why he only ever fills us if we want it. He never forces himself on us. Because he wants to come into your life. The Holy Spirit wants your gifts. He wants your character. He wants the things that you find funny. He wants the things that you're good at, that he's created in you, that he's given you. It's not about we come to faith and then God does away with everything of us and then turns us into these robots. No. He redeems the best parts of us. Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. We're going to pray, and I'm going to encourage us to, if we're able to stand. One of the things that we, some of us as a staff, were away this week, and we were looking at some of the strategies that we believe God has given us as a church here at St. Barnabas. One thing, the strategies placed on our hearts, and that was to boldly, one of them is to boldly pursue mission in everything. And I believe that God's called us as a church, St. Barnabas, to be full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's why I put this last picture up of us celebrating at Easter a couple of years ago. That it wouldn't be us just looking into Acts and going, wow, look at the glory days, weren't they the heydays? But it's about, actually, what does God want to do in us today, St. Barnabas? That we'll be a church of generous people. We'll be a church that would encourage the work of God. It's amazing that the selflessness in verse 32 of Acts chapter 4 is then immediately followed with Luke saying, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. And these two things, they're inextricably linked. Our willingness to be selfless in order to experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, and for the grace of God to be on us as a church. So we're going to pray, and we're just going to invite God. We know from Acts that sometimes the Holy Spirit will just come and do something amazing as and when he pleased. He is the Lord. He can do that. But we know from Acts chapter 4, before this passage about the believers sharing their possessions, they prayed and the Holy Spirit came. So we know there's biblical mandate for the importance of us asking and praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And I know that God loves to respond to that, just like when Peter prayed for Elizabeth, "Come, Lord." And before he'd got the rest of his words together, God was there. The Lord is here. I invite you to respond to that phrase by just saying, "His Spirit is with us." The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Remembering that the Holy Spirit never forces his way in, but he looks for people who open up the door and just say, "Come in," just like Peter did for Elizabeth. Knowing that, just in the way that you feel is appropriate for you, why don't you just welcome the Holy Spirit into your life again? Knowing that we are called to be people that follow Jesus who will be full of the Holy Spirit. To be St. Barnabas, men and women and boys and girls, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Just welcome him. And we're just going to wait as we make God's Spirit welcome, as we respond to what he's doing in our own life. Sometimes just physically, we in our bodies, God made our bodies, so why wouldn't we be able to experience him in our bodies? Sometimes we can feel God physically. Other times it's just a sense of God's peace. And I feel God's peace. If you're experiencing God in any way, just thank him for that. Of you, Lord. How much more will you, perfect Father, give your Holy Spirit to those that ask? How needy we are, God, that we battle between the desire to be selfish and look after number one and the desire to be last and the servant of all. Just let him come. Let him come. If he needs to come into a particular area to bring freedom, perhaps it's your wallet or your purse that you do give, but you still feel bound in your giving, that you do out of law rather than grace. Maybe there are elements of fear in us, things we don't want to let go. Remember, God doesn't come to control us as robots, but to partner with us. You were knit together in your mother's womb by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Remind us that your fingerprints are on us. For some of us, we need to be set free from that mindset that God wants rid of all of us, our old self. He doesn't care about that. He wants to just get rid of everything. But he wants to redeem you. He wants to redeem you. He loves you. More of you, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus, who died and then came alive again, appeared with holes in his hands and a hole in his side. The Spirit of Jesus. Where that is, there is freedom. So there's freedom this morning. And I know there are many of us that have got things that have bound us up. So we speak your freedom, Holy Spirit, over this church, over St. Barnabas, over every man and every woman, every boy and every girl.
Yes, sir.
We speak the Spirit of the Lord's freedom. Freedom. Move into a time of worship. I just encourage you to position yourself as somebody who, just like a child, would come to their father and say, "Dad, can I have this?" To be like that towards God and His Holy Spirit. That we need to be men and women and boys and girls who are full of the Holy Spirit and therefore full of faith to boldly pursue mission in everything. So come and keep coming as we worship, Lord, and do what you want to do, Lord of Lords.